This is podcast 383, entitled Need a Receipt, and we've just heard an excerpt from the cover of the Beatles single I Feel Fine by Los Straitjackets, which allows me to segue into the theme of this podcast, which is defensiveness and what lies underneath the defensiveness of the regular everyday human being like you and me. I've always thought that Les Straitjackets were an exception to the character of being prolific, because people who are very prolific often run into suddenly a final, something happens, and people who have been hitherto prolific run into a crisis within themselves or some kind of block or some kind of impasse or conflictedness, and they all of a sudden stop producing. Akira Kurosawa, a major example of this, who after he did the wrenching and in some ways among the very most powerful films of all time entitled Redbeard, he went into a kind of creative stasis for about 9 or 10 years, a man of extraordinary continuity when it came to the creative impulse and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I had thought until previously that Los Straitjackets were a kind of exception to this, because all through COVID they recorded and recorded and recorded and recorded magnificently, and then after COVID they recorded and they recorded and they recorded, and the singles kept coming out from their wonderful covers of songs of all sorts and kinds. And then, to my genuine surprise, quite recently I noticed there was nothing coming out. Now, I have no idea what may or may not have caused it, or whether there has been work done or anything like that, but from the standpoint of the listener and the fan, there's been a dead stop. And even this extraordinarily creative and prolific energy of Los Straitjackets has at least temporarily been quietened. And so really no one is immune. If they're immune to, if they're not immune to the human drama of potential paralysis and need and quenching and quashing, then nobody is. And I believe that nobody is. And what I say that not to pour cold water on human experience, but to try to diagnose in a way that might get beneath your defenses, because the only way forward in life, let me repeat that, the only way forward in life, and I'm aware that that is an either-or statement, is to come clean, to express what is actually on one's innermost mind and heart. And that, in my experience, as well as that of my own inwardness, rarely happens. And when it does, when one's own actual and unconstrained and undiluted inwardness comes out, the possibility of healing emerges, often for the very first time, about major life issues. And I'm going to talk about the point of death at one point, too, because that's always on one's mind, and there's been experience there. Now, what I entitled this cast was, Do You Need a Receipt? Because it is so clear in everyday intercourse, everyday interactions, that the human being is drawn to ways to prevent entrance into the land of truth about oneself. And you will find, we find, that we will do almost anything to prevent that little point of accessibility in the Death Star. Luke, use the Force, and that's what we have to use. There's we will grab anything to prevent access to the point of need. And the one that always amuses me, it used to anger me, now I just take my pad out to find out what the new form of it will be, is what people do in everyday interchanges when you're buying something or checking out of a store. And the current one that is everywhere, I wonder if you recognize this expression, is, do you need a receipt? Now, it has something to do with the internet and the way receipts are done and something to do with something, but it is simply the current 2024 manifestation of a way to debar the person that you're dealing with in the, if you're the checkout person, the person who's the payment station, it's the way to prevent any kind of real connection with the person. It immediately it prevents the possibility of real interchange. And I like to talk to people. I don't like to, I really, I should say rather, I like to get to know people in truth. And I'm going to make a point later in this cast about the Protestant Reformation as the sort of theological historic formation of the need to really ultimately criticize the constant use of shibboleths and phrases to prevent connection. So when the person says, need a receipt, and I always only want to say, you know, I'm indifferent to the question. They love that. You know, I don't really have an opinion on that question, I will say. Do I or do I not? I'm not even sure. Maybe if it's medical, I need it for tax purposes. Do you need a receipt? Let me give you another example. Did you find everything you were looking for today? I see that in the eyes of the checkout person. It's almost as if they're sort of, oh, did they ask that question? Or, uh-oh, I better ask that question. Maybe because my boss has told me I should, or maybe it's because I need to find something to fill this uncomfortable silence between him and me at the checkout at the Publix. Did you find everything you were looking for? And of course, if you say yes, you open up. The only answer you can give is yes. Well, no, actually, inflation is driving me crazy. I just spent $5 on some vegetables that used to cost me $2.50 max just 6 months ago. So yes, I found what I was looking for. But are you kidding me? But no one expects that. Did you find everything you were looking for is designed by the person who's saying it like an automaton to prevent any kind of real exchange. That's actually the case. Let me give you another example. Is there anything else I can help you with today? I first saw that this was a problem at Christmas in Chevy Chase. There was a small post office in Chevy Chase, Maryland, right outside of Washington, near where our parish of All Saints Episcopal Church was, and I would go at Christmas time to get stamps or to mail a package, and there was always a long line. And the line was a small post office, and once the line had about 15 people in it, all of whom thought highly of themselves, and at least three of whom were recognizable people in government or media. And I remember if someone had gone through a long, long thing about an overseas package and was just about to leave, and everybody was breathing a collective sigh of relief. Now maybe we can finally get to my concern about the stamps or whatever it was. And right, the postal clerk turned to the person who was blessedly almost finished and said, "Is there anything else I can help you with today?" And I wanted to scream, "Are you out of your mind? Why are you asking that question?" But it was obviously a reflex. The question, need a receipt? Did you find everything you were looking for? Is there anything else I can help you with today? It's a reflex. And it's a reflex that is designed and used by the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's satanic, ultimately, because it is a way that the world silences the possibility of a real connection. And every so often I have a connection with someone. I recently ran into a person, I may have said this, who was my checkout person for 5 or 6 years in Winter Garden, Florida. And I ran into her in the aisle as a customer and just said, "Hey, how you doing?" And I did remember her name by the grace of God. And she poured out this incredible story of physical illness and problems and disability. And I was so grateful that she could say it. But had she said, "Did you find everything you were looking for?" which was usually what it was, that never would have happened. Now, let me give you, paper or plastic. Remember that one? Or, this is going back a ways, VHS or beta. I don't really care if it's VHS or beta. I've just bought Hannah, Queen of the Vampires, which is an Italian marvelous pseudo-hammer horror, but Mario Bava-type gothic romance, and I'm interested in it. Let's talk about that, VHS or beta. Now, the point is that people are always, and again, we all do it. I'm no exception, but I'm aware of it now more than I used to be, because I do, I'm aware how powerful it is when I am heard, or where someone else is actually heard. Because the fact is, everyone, and I'm going to make another either or statement here, everyone is dealing with something big. I used to say, oh, most people, part of the time, or most people, at least at one point in their lives, or I was always trying to not make it sound either or, because people react to an either or statement. They say, well, I'm not. You know, don't you tell me that everybody has some major problem. I don't have a major problem. And that was pride. And I can't say it, but I now believe it. And I'm just the age I am. But the experience pastorally is, in fact, closer to the maxim that everyone at every point is dealing with something inwardly that feels extremely important and necessary. I would say that. And the power of these regressive sort of blowing it off, paper or plastic. I was with a fella in a Tower Records once in San Francisco, and I didn't realize that in California, how there things are blown off just all the time by sort of smiling clerks. And I had made a request or asked a question, and we came out and I accepted the answer, and the fellow said, oh, he was just blowing you off. Everybody, they just blow you off around here. They look nice, they smile, but they can't answer your question. They're not telling you the truth. And I was really surprised. Another thing that often happens is people have a major issue and they'll tell me about it, and I'm very open to it. I'm not there to use it against them or to tell somebody else the issue. I confess, by Hitchcock. I mean, Montgomery Clift is absolutely bound not to tell who the murderer is. Now, there's new thoughts about how to deal with confession and priests, but in the old way, it was, I don't care what he tells me, it's sacred. I don't care what he tells me. I can help him to come out of it and maybe stop doing it, but I cannot tell the world. Well, whether that's true or not, everyone has it moves me when people tell me what they're really thinking. But often when the whip comes down, the door suddenly comes down, because someone will think, uh-oh, I've told Paul something, and I wish I hadn't, because it might reflect on me, or I feel badly about whatever I said. It pains me to admit such and such. So I'll shut down. I'll say, and what I have to do, I have to respond by saying, well, let me tell you a little bit what's going on with me. So I lower the the resistance, the person having told me something important, then I'll say something about me, which is perfectly fine. But and I'm certainly in other situations happy to tell someone else what I'm going through. I'm very grateful when someone really listens, which, as with all of us, is rare. But the power of what is happening here is that, let me repeat, everyone is dealing with something that is meaningful, most of the time hurtful and damaging and distressing within themselves at any given point. And very rarely will a person vouchsafe it, because it's too painful. Isn't it Tullian who recently said, the reason people are angry is because it's pain. Underneath the anger is pain. And I agree with that. So what I wanted to say was that we need to be aware that in ourselves, let alone in others, there are a massive defense reflexes that come down and shut the door to saying what really needs to be said. And the only time these come down is usually in a place of extreme distress. You know, I'm about to fall off the cliff, literally, and I don't know what to do. Or in extreme illness, people when they're very sick, because the defenses vanish when the body is howling with distress. And at the moment of death, because we will have to say these things to God. And sometimes at the very point of death, or at the very point of oldest age, something comes out that was kept hidden all those years, partly because no one listened, and partly because you were afraid to say it. There was too much pain. The locus classicus of that being the scene in Gone with the Wind, not in the movie, but in the original book, when Scarlett O'Hara's mother at the point of her death, she's kept everybody going on the plantation. She's been the doctor, the priest, the economist, the boss, the farmer, the agrarian, everything, the planter and the carer of the entire community around her. And she suddenly dies, and her last words are, "Philippe." And even Mammy, who knows everything, Mammy, played by Hattie McDaniel, so with so much perception and compassion in the original movie version, Mammy, who knows everything, says, "Who is Philippe?" The last words she said was, Mrs. said was, "Philippe, who is Philippe?" Well, Scarlett's mother had never told anybody, not a soul, about what had transpired between her and a young man named Philippe when she was about 16. And it comes out. It does come out, but really too late at the end. She needed someone to talk it through with before. That's why I talk about irresolutions that need to be worked out. Now, I'll say one other thing about it. I almost entitled the podcast "Need a Protestant Receipt." I was going to put the word "Protestant" in parentheses. Need a Protestant receipt? Because what happened at the Reformation was actually, psychodynamically, a movement in one particular highly inwardly integrated person, Martin Luther, who needed an answer to an enormous pain that he had relevant to his own identity and standing. And really self-understanding at the very, very deepest level. And he had come to find out that the Catholic Church of his period had basically dealt with people who had strong inward boundnesses, were bound by basically, do you need a receipt? Or did you find everything you were looking for? Is there anything else I can help you with? Because he went up the Spanish steps in Rome, step by step by step, believing that if he did it, 100 times, said the same prayer on the rosary or however he did it, he would find an answer. And you can't deal with it that way. He understood that the facility for coming to some kind of peace with inward irresolutions was not to be found through any kind of repeated rote. It had to be personal. It had to be deep. It had to be ultimately God. It couldn't be something else. You had to be your real self in relationship to a real other, and anything else was a secondary, a mediation. And that's why Protestants have been characterized really most of all by a desire to erase or deconstruct mediating elements between you and an answer. All mediations, just as when I'm in the line at the Publix Greenwise, the person says, "Did you find everything you were looking for?" That's an attempt to put another wall between me and the person. It just is. It's instinctive. I would do the same. But what I really want to say to the person, and I did say it once not so long ago in Winter Garden to somebody else, the checkout lady, as I would call her, nice person, I sort of knew, different person from the one I was talking about. I said, "You look upset." I just said that as I was taking my She was filling my bag, and I was checking out for a lot of money for pimento cheese. And I said, "You actually look upset to me." And just her face just fell. Oh my gosh! I mean, she said, "Well, I am." And I said, "Well, I wish we could talk about it." She said, "I wish I could too, but something's going on. I just can't talk about it." Oh my gosh! And it was so classic. There it was. Well, the Protestant. And she appeared that way to me when she said, "Did you find everything you were looking for?" Now, do I need a Protestant receipt? I need an unmediated situation when I can ultimately and completely be myself and before God. And it has to happen. And the meaning of the Protestant Reformation was the compelling, an almost compulsive need of Luther, which finally broke through all the stipulations that were working against it by the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil, to make him finally say, "This is my problem. Will you help me?" And that's why I asked if we would need a Protestant receipt. And I can give chapter and verse in my own experience, but I think I'll hold off on that today, and we'll just talk about the exposure of walls and barriers between individuals on an everyday basis as the attack upon truth and hope and healing that is pregnant ultimately in a truth-telling relationship with the other, and finally and ultimately and necessarily with God himself. Thank you so very much, and we'll continue with the final selection. Love you.